and good morning. It's 11:01 a.m. Central Time, Friday, November 19, 2021. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And just so you know, don't panic. Kamala Harris is not the new president. She is just subbing in for Sleepy Joe, who literally is sleeping because he's being put under anesthesia to have a colonoscopy done. And of course, you know, when the president is indisposed like that and has been anesthetized, the vice president then becomes the acting president. And he is having a routine colonoscopy this morning. I can just see the Babylon Bee having fun with this one. Yes, doctors snaked up further, and the snake got away from him and went all the way to the top and managed to enter the brain, and they couldn't find anything. So he got the all clear. I could just see the Babylon Bee having fun with that. So we have a lot of stuff on our agenda today, besides the fact that there's 10% off the Good Health Naturally products. There's a BOGO sale on OxyLift and 10% off OxySulfur. And because of the fact it's Friday, you can save 10% on your purchase at the Power Mall by using the code CASHFRIDAY at checkout when you select cash, check, or money order for payment. So in the meantime, now that we've given you the heads up on this, yesterday, by the way, one quick announcement. We interviewed Sean Spicer, and we talked about the Steele dossier cover-up, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this has been launched onto the Brighteon channel, so you can go to Brighteon.com and check that out. In the meantime, the hits just keep on coming. I mean, it gets better. Peter Navarro, by the way, that name may ring a bell. Most everybody says, hey, have you ever heard Peter Navarro? Ever heard of him? And, oh, yeah, didn't he work in the Trump White House? I said, yes. As a matter of fact, he did. Thank you so much for playing. He's got a Ph.D. in economics from Harvard, was a professor emeritus of economics and public policy at UC Irvine for more than 20 years, serving as assistant to President Trump and director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy at the White House. During the Trump administration, he's the author of numerous books, including his China trilogy, The Coming China Wars, Death by China, and Crouching Tiger. At the White House, Dr. Navarro advised President Trump on policies to increase economic growth, decrease trade deficits, and strengthen America's defense industrial base. Also helping to increase foreign military sales to allied nations and reform conventional arms transfer and unmanned aerial systems policies. He has produced 3 volumes of the Navarro Report, in his personal capacity, to shed light on potentially illegal activity that may have occurred during the 2020 presidential election. And this, of course, comes right off of his website. That's right. He has one, peternavarro.com. And he's also got a new book out called In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year. I mean, are we being plagued with everything and his brother? But guess what? We have Peter Navarro standing by on the line. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, great to be with you today, sir. And yes, I am here in the swamp watching the city fall down around us as the Democrats do their mischief. And I'm hoping the In Trump Time book may help turn things around on a number of fronts, including firing Fauci and getting him in the jail cell, which is one of the key objectives of the book.
Interesting. All right. So in other words, this particular, and this has been my contention all along, Peter, and you can put me in my place if I'm wrong, but I've been of the opinion ever since this thing started, and I've been researching this garbage for the past year, and I really believe in my heart that Fauci gave President Trump bad medical advice when he launched on this vaccine, which a lot of us don't really think is a vaccine. We think it's biowarfare. And I don't know how you take that, but I've had several frontline doctors on my show who have all said this is nothing but an effort by the elitists to depopulate the United States and the rest of the world. I don't know. Maybe that's not where you're coming from in this book, but it certainly sounds like, you know, there may be some inclusion of those possibilities.
Let me start with where I first met Fauci. It's chapter 2 in the In Trump Time book. I'm sent to the Situation Room by President Trump to argue on his behalf to support the ban on travel from communist China. And this is January 28, 2020. It's very early in the pandemic. There's no sense of urgency among anybody except the president, myself, and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. And I go into the Situation Room, and there's four people in there I know I'm going to have a fight with. It was Acting Chief of Staff Mulvaney, one of Pompeo's hacks, the bumbling Dr. Robert Redfield of the CDC, who would screw up the testing several weeks later, and then Alex Azar, the head of Health and Human Services. But there's this little guy with these little round glasses sitting across from me, and I didn't know he walked on water, didn't know he was a saint, just, you know, took him at face value, literally. And within a minute, I'm in a violent argument with him. And he keeps insisting over and over, like Flaubert's parrot, that travel bans don't work, in his Brooklyn accent. Travel bans don't work. And finally, I said to him, dude, and I actually said dude to him, it's like, you need to tell me if there's 20,000 Chinese nationals coming in to America every day, many of them from Wuhan, lit up like a Christmas tree with virus, that you want these people to come in and see and spread that virus? And his response was, travel bans don't work, okay? Now, there's a couple of things to say here. At that moment in time, I thought two things. One, that he thought he was smarter than he was, which is always dangerous. And two, he was going to hurt the president and this country. And I came to that conclusion without knowing who he was. It was just, this guy is dangerous. But here's what I know now that I didn't know then, which is why he belongs in jail, Fauci. He knew at the time that the virus came from Wuhan. Check that box. He knew that it had surfaced within yards of a bioweapons lab, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Check that box. He knew, but never told us until well after the election, that his agency actually funded that Wuhan bioweapons lab and funded the gain-of-function experiments that can be used to transform harmless bat viruses into human killers. And Fauci had been told in an email that that virus was in all likelihood genetically engineered, which is to say a bioweapon. So you tell me, wouldn't it have been his responsibility at that point to have come clean, to have told the President of the United States, to have told the task force, to have told me that, sir, I suspect that this may be a genetically engineered virus from that Wuhan lab that could be very deadly to the American people? If he had done that, see, we still don't have the original genome of the virus from the communist Chinese. If I had that original genome at the very beginning, we could have designed a much better and more complex vaccine. You are absolutely right, sir, that what we have is not a vaccine, not in the sense of polio or smallpox. It's an RNA experimental technology which is designed to inject people with a relatively small number of spike proteins to invoke an immune response, which we're learning is incomplete and ephemeral. It's not, it's a leaky, non-durable vaccine. So my point here is simply, by lie of omission, Fauci should be in jail, because that cost hundreds of thousands of American lives and millions of lives worldwide. But that's just the beginning. Fauci not only lied, he covered it up using this cutout named Peter Daszak, who I describe in the In Trump Time book as the dumbest individual to ever try to play God. You know, it was Daszak who was Fauci's cutout to go convince the world that, no, it's not from the lab, it's from nature, bat cave 1,000 miles away. And so, I mean, the In Trump Time book, that's just the beginning. I fight Fauci on hydroxychloroquine, which works to save lives. I fight him on the actual timing of the vaccine. And I was clear-eyed, as was the president, early in February, as I'm writing memos. It's all in the memos that I describe in the In Trump Time book, that, hey, this vaccine, like, it's a long shot. It's not going to be a silver bullet. We need therapeutics like hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies, and we need to have a holistic five-vector attack strategy to beat this. So, you know, Fauci plays such a prominent role, yet even today he maintains his presence as a top health advisor, insisting six-year-olds need to get jabbed with that fixed vaccine, which science does not support and is tantamount to severe child abuse.
Well, you know, Dr. Navarro, the thing that really gets me is after having researched this, after having talked to Dr. David Martin, Dr. Carrie Mate, Dr. Judy Mikovits, all of these frontline doctors and research scientists, and Mikovits actually got run out on a rail by Fauci, who went after her personally when she started to divulge the fact of what was actually in this jab that people are getting. And she's basically was out there, as many of these other frontline doctors are. And I think that in Trump time, a Journal of America's plague year, for those of you out there that are listening to the sound of my voice, this book, even though I don't have a copy in front of me, given what Dr. Navarro has just said and the fact that he was plugged into the White House in such a manner that, you know, had we known the truth, President Trump could have at that point in time made a whole different rash of decisions with Mr. Navarro's guidance on this whole thing. Peter, it sounds to me, you say that this charade is still going on, but he's got the support of mainstream media.
Yes, even as his approval rating has plunged from over 70% down to Kamala Harris territory. I mean, he's becoming one of the most hated men in America. And you really, I mean, look, in the clear light of day, you can't have a health advisor who's distrusted by more than half of the American people and hope to have a good policy result. So on that basis alone, the Biden regime should cut ties with Tony Fauci. I mean, every time Fauci gets on TV, which he loves, and says, it's like, you got to get this vaccine or you're going to lose your job, or your kids got to wear face masks, or you got to get your sixth booster shot this month or else. People get getting angry. And what I'm telling you is from a science point of view, they're perfectly justified in getting angry. So Tony Fauci is evil. He's a sociopath. He's a narcissist. He's got blood on his hands, and he needs to be in jail. And it's not the first time. During the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, Sean Strub's book Body Count documents 17,000 victims from Fauci's incompetence when he was the AIDS czar. So it's like the only good thing I can say about Fauci is that it's remarkable how somebody so destructive has been able to stay in power. But it all gets back to the big pharma interests he serves. I mean, Pfizer should be a nonprofit when it comes to the vaccine. It shouldn't make a single friggin' dime on this vaccine. It should do it at cost as a public service to the world. But instead, it's going to make billions upon billions upon billions of dollars from a product which doesn't really need to be distributed other than to people who are senior citizens or with comorbidities, full stop.
So this vaccine mandate, this is not in your game plan, Dr. Navarro. You don't see that as being legitimate. This is to me is something that, you know, it's overreach. It's definitely, they don't want to let loose of Fauci because Fauci is their hinge pin to try to maintain control, you know, that they have right now. Now in 2022, as you know, this may shift, and you know, we really don't. It would literally, in my book, turn Biden into a lame duck. But the problem is Fauci still there unless Congress can find a way to remove him? Do you see that happening?
Well, look, I hope he's gone by Christmas. If everybody reads the In Trump Time book, and I've formed an alliance with Robert Kennedy Jr., who just came out with a book called The Real Anthony Fauci, that exposes Fauci historically. I do it for the last year of the White House. I mean, if everybody reads my book and Kennedy's book, that guy's got to be gone. I mean, the American people aren't going to stand for this guy being around. The truth will out. And so all I can do is come on and have these kind of conversations with you and share with your listeners the truth about this. And by the way, it's like, I'm sorry they didn't send you a book. Like, just text me your address. I'll send you a signed copy. And by the way, I spoke to another radio host today. He's doing a contest to give away the book. I mean, if you want to do something like that, I'll send you signature plates so that if you give the book out to some of your listeners, they'll have a signed copy. I just need to get this thing out so that people will understand that we need to fire Fauci, put him in jail, hold the Chinese communists accountable. Oh, and by the way, get to the bottom of what happened in the election.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because there are about 80-plus million some-odd disgruntled voters out there that feel rather disenfranchised, if you know what I mean. This whole situation with Fauci has just got everybody's goat, because he keeps coming on TV and pontificating all this stuff, that vaccine this, vaccine that, and they've got, you know, everybody basically beating the drum for him as far as the mainstream media goes. But as far as those who are smart, now they want to reach out and basically upset the apple cart and screw with our economy and get people fired from their job or quitting. I've got kids, my own kids. One of them is a nurse, and her job is now at risk because they don't want to take the jab, and she refuses to give it to anybody because they've been studying what's in this stuff. And they're, frankly, I mean, this came out of the University of North Carolina and Ralph Baric, as far as we know. And the thing is, I think what Fauci's trying to do right now is try to downplay the connection between Baric, Daszak, and Wuhan. Because if people actually put two and two together, that this whole bloody thing was orchestrated between the United States and China, heads would roll. And they would have rolled sooner than later.
Yeah. No. He's not going to be able to avoid. Fauci's not going to be able to avoid his connection with Daszak, with Baric, and the bat lady, Xi Jinping, in Wuhan. I mean, as I say in the In Trump Time book, it's like Fauci's more dangerous than anybody short of the Bat Lady. Daszak, today the Wall Street Journal came out, and my In Trump Time audio version is number 3 on the bestseller list. And the reason, I think, is that I actually use actual clips and voices in it, rather than just do the straight narration. I got Bannon in it. I got Victor Davis Hanson. I got Corey Lewandowski. But I also have clips from people like Fauci and Daszak. And there's one very telling clip from Peter Daszak in the In Trump Time audio version, where he says, well, you just take a bat virus and you inject this stuff into the backbone, and at the other end, out comes a killer virus. And, oh, by the way, I'm not doing it, but it's my Chinese colleagues that are doing it, right? I mean, it's the most chilling 60 seconds of video one could imagine. It's like somebody channeling Joseph Mengele. And again, you know, the dumbest guy who ever played God. And so Fauci can backpedal as fast as he wants from Daszak, but that ain't going to happen. And this guy, Ralph Baird, man, that guy is like a picture on a milk carton. The University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and shame on them for hiding that guy. They got him locked up tighter than the snap ties on a Uyghur prisoner in China.
Wow. Yeah, and see, this is really blowing me away, because no matter what happens, Fauci is still in the driver's seat, and this book, In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year, I have a feeling goes into some pretty drastic detail about what goes on or what went on the inside, and the fact I think that it's going to basically spell out a lot more of what your involvement was with Fauci, and the fact that you were seeing warning signs already. And there's nothing. He can show up in front of Congress as many times as he wants and sit there in front of Rand Paul and continue to lie to him that he wasn't involved in gain-of-function research, but the results show otherwise. Is that your take on this?
Exactly.
Okay.
He's a sociopath. He's a sociopath. He just lies, and when he gets caught in a lie, he lies more. There's no question that Fauci funded the bioweapons lab in China. There's no question that he authorized gain-of-function experiments there. There's no question that that technology, that gain-of-function technology, was used to genetically engineer viruses that could kill humans. And the most likely explanation of all of this is one of those viruses was either intentionally released or escaped to kill Americans. You can't lie your way out of this one, Tony, no matter how much you bat your pretty little blue eyes and insist that everybody else is lying when you're the liar.
Well, it's true, and you can't just keep whitewashing this thing and denying this wasn't gain-of-function research, because all those emails that you probably have uncovered and you talk about in your book, I'm sure that, you know, if people start really reading the emails and start researching all the patents that are out there, like Dr. David Martin did, it will absolutely come to light. But my biggest concern here, Peter, is that these folks out here are blindly taking this research product. And Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are making tens of billions of dollars. We don't know, and you may know, how much each of these jabs are costing the U.S. taxpayer. But, I mean, this is just silly, them making tens of billions of dollars, and people, to me, in the future, and Pfizer's own guy, Michael Yeadon, is out there saying, please, dear God, don't take this vaccine. You'll be dead in 3 years. What if this was designed to eliminate a majority of the population? What if this is their actual intent? Do you see that?
Yeah, I'm not. I'll let you go there. I've got damning evidence enough without even going there. All I know is that this is an experimental vaccine. It has a wide range of side effects. And if you're an individual, a senior citizen with a high risk of dying from the COVID virus, may want to undertake the risk of the vaccine itself. But for children, for healthy people, for professional athletes, no. You talk to your physician. But my protocol is, if I get sick, I take hydroxychloroquine and some supplements and hope for the best.
Makes sense. Dr. Navarro, we've got some callers on the line. Charles in Oklahoma, you have a question for Dr. Peter Navarro. Waiting on Charles. Charles did not seem to be there. Okay. As soon as we get a hold of Charles, I guess we lost him. This thing, you also, because of the fact, Dr. Navarro, you've had a chance to actually assess, by watching what's going on in the Biden administration here, one of the things I think that you probably are connected with, given where you were in your position in the Trump administration, you're watching all this nonsense with China unfold, especially Joe's meeting with Xi. And this whole thing to us, it's like I got this sinking feeling in the back of my head that the Biden administration has been bought off and that Hunter's in the middle of it. I don't know why I think that way, but, you know, what's your take on that?
Well, you probably read all of material on the laptop from hell from Hunter Biden. There's no question that the Biden crime family is alive and well. James, the brother of Joe, is you know, if this were like Godfather Part 5, James, the brother, would be the consigliere. Hunter would be kind of the wayward kid that they can't control. And Joe, you know, he put some, like, cotton in his mouth like Marlon Brando did. And it's like, yeah, Xi Jinping, yeah, take Taiwan. Go ahead. Yeah, I don't care where the virus came from. Just don't show the pictures of my kid in Beijing and Shanghai when he was high on whatever it was. Yeah, that's, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The president of the United States has a kid who got $1 billion from the communist Chinese to smoke crack and give away American factories. I mean, you can't make that up, right? You take that to Hollywood and they go, nah, too implausible. But that's what happened. So anyway, that's why I write books. And the End Trump Time book, I think, is the most important book I will ever write. And I do hope people will get it. Get it for stocking stuffers. Give it all your friends. We've got to take Fauci out together. We've got to hold China accountable for attacking America. And we do have to get to the bottom of what happened on November 3rd.
Yeah, we sure do, because that's something that's still sitting in the craws of every Republican out there that felt like they've been stiffed of their vote. In Trump time, Journal of America's Plague Year. Where can one purchase this book? I mean, is it all the major retailers?
All major retailers. If you want it quick, go to Amazon. You can get both the hardcover and the audio edition there. And it's really important to buy this book, and it's a statement against all these left-wing books that are coming out and hitting the bestseller list because they lie and gossip about the Trumps. But two anonymous sources don't equal a fact. So I call mine Whiskey Straight, No Chaser. It's the definitive insider's account. I really appreciate the time with you today to talk about all these issues.
Well, I appreciate that too, Dr. Peter Navarro, because, the only way you're going to get to the truth is to talk to people that were on the inside, and you obviously were, and you have seen, what's happened. You've seen the blowback. So you already know, and that's probably what prompted the book, for you to author this. And it's wonderful. And I look forward to getting a copy of it. And we sincerely appreciate your coming on the Power Hour and discussing this with us. And, hopefully folks, you go out and get a copy of that book. In the meantime, Dr. Navarro, you have yourself a quality day. Stay safe. And God bless you, sir.
Have a good holiday, sir. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, there you go. Dr. Peter Navarro, folks. We're going to have Larry Klayman. I tell you what, Judicial Watch, yes, he used to be part of that. Now he's the author of It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. He is founder and former chairman of the successful nonprofit foundation Judicial Watch. I happen to advise a lot of people in my classes about Judicial Watch and how important it is. And we're going to get into that a little bit with Larry Klayman right after the break. You stay with us here on the Power Hour. Here on the Power Hour, Dave Krieger with you. It's 11:31 in the morning, Central Time. For those of you dialing us in, this is Friday, November 19, 2021. And if you are dialing us in and you hear me say that date and it's not that date, you are listening to an archive broadcast. Just remember that, because we go live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. And if you don't hear me say what the date is, Dave Krieger, your host, and if you don't hear today's date, then it's a pre-recorded episode. So lots going on in the world today as we try to reach Larry Klayman. The one thing I'm going to tell you about FreedomWatchUSA.org, he basically is now in charge of that, but at one time he was also in charge of Judicial Watch. And when I'm teaching class and I want people to study all about their federal judges, well, believe it or not, judicialwatch.org/judge. And you can go look up any federal judge in any of the circuits, and you can see their financial statements. Did you know they went that far with this? I mean, it's amazing. And I tell all my folks in class when I'm teaching foreclosure defense, if you get removed to federal court, you need to know who these judges are. Because if these judges are holding stock in Bank of America and Bank of America is foreclosing on you and your house, there may be a conflict of interest and that judge needs to recuse himself. But you wouldn't know that unless you actually went to judicialwatch.org/judge and looked up that information. So that's an interesting take there that you should know about Judicial Watch. Ahead of us talking to Larry this morning, Judge Bruce Schroeder, by the way, who is presiding over the Rittenhouse case, has banned MSNBC after the producer, one of the producers who was directed by someone in New York, somebody named James J. Morrison. He apparently was following the jury bus and apparently ran a red light in the process chasing this jury bus. And he was instructed apparently by a superior. So he told the cops who pulled him over, and basically the judge said he'll decide what to do about the situation. However, the thing is that they're probably going to investigate this. Irene Bayan, who apparently is said to be based in New York, is listed on LinkedIn as being an NBC booking producer. Her LinkedIn was deleted on Thursday. Apparently they don't want anybody trying to get a hold of her because they got themselves in trouble. And Irene Bayan may get herself even in more trouble because when you start chasing a bus, we're talking about felony jury tampering here, or jury intimidation, folks. This is serious business. Here we have a kid who most of America, after watching the evidence on TV, a lot of them have come up with the understanding that, hey, you know what? This looks like self-defense to me if I were in this kid's shoes. But, of course, the liberal left-wing media has gone out and blasted and blasted and blasted, called him every kind of name in the book, said he's guilty of sin, got everybody all upset. Residents in Kenosha, Wisconsin are bracing for trouble, according to Epoch Times. The schools there have been closed. They are afraid as to what's going on outside the courtroom. They're making enough racket, enough noise out there between the media and the protesters that it can be heard inside. You've got to be unhinged if you're a juror and you're inside listening to this nonsense. This is a real problem. When you are a juror and you're supposed to weigh in on the law and the facts of the case, and now they're deadlocked, and I think half of it, and this is just my opinion, half of them are scared because, like OJ, well, what happens if we find him, you know, guilty, or what happens if we find him not guilty, or what happens if? Well, we don't know what happens if, because it hasn't happened yet, because you people have been commissioned by this court to do the right thing. And if you believe, after looking at the evidence, that Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself, and it was clear self-defense, if you believe that the prosecution misled the defense by not revealing who the guy was that kicked Rittenhouse in the head, they knew who he was. They did not disclose that. They also had better drone video footage. They did not disclose that. You know, when you have exculpatory evidence that could show the truth and you hide that, that's simply what we term prosecutorial misconduct. That's exactly what it is. I'm a paralegal. I respect the profession. I understand how attorneys are. I know hundreds of attorneys that I worked with stopping foreclosure over the last 12 years. So it's not like I have not been in court seeing the fight go down, because I've seen a whole courtroom of 300 homeowners 2.5 hours later, all but two of them lost their homes. That's what we call rocket docket. I have been there on the front line, seen it. I've been to court. I've sent messages up to the defense attorney during cross. I've consulted at trials. I've seen this garbage. And when I see what is going on here, it's like, why did these prosecutors even charge this kid, other than the fact it's political? Chad in North Carolina, what do you think about that, sir? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I obviously, it's political. It's to try to manipulate the minds of the unsuspecting public into believing something that isn't true, as always.
Chad, do you really think that the public is unsuspecting at this point, really?
Well, I would say a large number of the public isn't, but there is a certain percentage, because I know some that they don't follow news that closely to pay attention to these types of situations.
No doubt.
Maybe they're waking up. I've been a big supporter of Judicial Watch for years, and, you know, some people have told me, well, yeah, they sound good, except they don't ever see any results. Like, they didn't indict Hillary Clinton and all these types of issues that have come up over the years, and I don't want to knock Judicial Watch. I think they're a great organization, but it's like they go after all these issues, and you never hear of somebody being indicted. What do you think of that? I mean, what's your opinion?
Yeah, basically they just, Chad, they stir the pot. I mean, that's basically what they've been doing is stirring the pot. And every time they bring up a lawsuit, sometimes it goes somewhere, sometimes it goes nowhere, sometimes the other side knows how to tie them up in court. And people get confused. It's part of the problem with juries. Given everything that's been happening right now in the Rittenhouse trial, knowing what we know and seeing what we've seen and looking at this alleged misconduct by prosecutors, I am surprised that Judge Schroeder has not thrown this entire case to the curb and said, I'm sorry, guys, I see this for what it is, but I think he wants the jury to present the court with the proper verdict. And whatever happens, happens. If we have enough law enforcement in Kenosha, we should not have another round of all the garbage that went on that caused all this in the first place. Most of us, like Chad, you probably agree that maybe Rittenhouse should not have been there. He wanted to do something to contribute, but he showed up with an AR-15. So when you show up with a weapon, you know, it kind of adds a little element to the situation.
Well, my personal take is, you know, he went there to protect a neighborhood, the infrastructure, as they love to talk about so much in the political class, to protect the infrastructure. And you had a bunch of paid agitators going in there trying to destroy things. And, you know, what were they supposed to do? Just let the town burn? I mean, honestly.
Yeah,
I think he did the right thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was there, and obviously because he was there, Chad, everything just played out the way it played out, and he had these loose cannons chase him down, and he did what he thought was best. So, you know, most right-thing Americans cannot fault him for this, but then you got, you know, the president at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with the mental acuity of a two-year-old calling him a white supremacist. He doesn't even know this kid. And I didn't see Joe Biden out there protecting anybody's building, telling the hordes to stop burning buildings down. I didn't see him doing it. I just see all these blue state prosecutors are like, oh, yeah, whatever. You need some bond money? Yeah, we'll help you out here. I mean, none of this makes any sense that they should be allowed to do this. And what gets me even more is the guys that own that car dealership and several other locations that were being attacked. I'm surprised they weren't out there joining them with weapons.
Right. Well, it's you want to hear another outrage? I found out this morning, Bloomberg reported that the Biden administration is apparently sending oil from our strategic reserves to China.
Ow. Yeah, that's not good.
Tell me why, what sort of government you have that would turn over your essential reserves of fuel to a country which you're at odds with. I mean, I've read books of, and you know, about the past wars and how that sort of thing was done before. You know, I got a bad feeling because this is another thing I wanted to ask Dr. Navarro. I've had some people tell me, oh, China's about to collapse. You know, they're in bad economic shape. I think there'll be a war soon. Do you think China's about to collapse? I don't know personally.
Well, here again, Chad, you got to understand that half of the stuff, and we can't, I don't translate Chinese at all. So when you're looking at stuff like this, I mean, obviously the conversation would lend itself to the fact that China, if they're getting our reserves, the question is why? And who's giving it to them? If the Biden administration is playing into this whole scenario, and it's all because of Hunter and his connections. I mean, this is something that Peter Navarro brought up in the last segment, was that he basically is saying that, you know, this is what we have, the Biden crime family. I mean, he referred to him as that, like the Godfather. And so, you know, when you're trying to kowtow to the Chinese, it's like, what are we trying to prove here? Are we trying to buy our friends again? My mom always told me growing up, you cannot buy your friends. I go, well, Mom, how come our government's allowed to do that and I'm not? Why can't I give my friends money? Isn't it important I give my friends money? No, you can't do that. And I said, well, then, Mom, our government should not be allowed to do that either because they're setting a poor example, just handing over everything to our enemies. I mean, these people would like to see us wiped off the map. So, and I'm still waiting, Chad, for something, horrendous to come out of this because of the fact with everybody coming through the southern border with all this fentanyl. I mean, there's all these different ways the Chinese have figured out how they're going to attack this country and take out half of us before we wake up and figure out what's going on. I mean, do you think that way, or am I off base here? What's going on?
No, I see it as an onslaught. It's being done subversively, and people aren't—they try not to alert people to it too much, but it's kind of hard once they've already let the cat out of the bag. Because our own sheriff here has told us that they've seen deaths from drug overdoses with fentanyl in it just about double in the last several years because of all the drugs coming up through the border. And we're up here in, North Carolina, and it's going everywhere. I think this was a long-term plan. I've read some various sources about that to slowly drug the country. I mean, you think about all the young people now that, use recreational marijuana and think it's a great thing. And you basically mind numb the population that's supposed to be responsible for holding together the country in the future. And then they attack the education system. Then they attack the border, and they're just dissolving everything. So that's my line of thinking. It's really bad.
Well, I agree with you, Chad. It looks like this was something that was pre-planned, but I think that there were certain deep state individuals inside the American government or the United States government, I should say. Let's delineate that, because United States government is different from America. America is comprised of 50 states. Each of these states are sovereign. The federal government has decided it's going to come in and do all this overreach, and this is what's got Americans worked up, is because there's no reason why we'd have to have a vaccine mandate if these vaccines actually worked. So there's got to be something else nefarious going on, and I'm pretty much in line with your rationale of thinking here, sir. And I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. We're moving along.
Thank you.
You bet. CVS, by the way. Wow. It's like, where are they getting this information from? CNN, of course. CVS is reporting, and of course, CNN, wouldn't you know, the Communist News Network would be the first thing to report on this. CVS is going to close 900 stores. Great news if you're Dollar General. Yeah, they're going to close about 1 in 10. It's outdated locations. And so, Walgreens or Rite Aid, sorry, they're not in the running. Dollar General's in the running here. It's rapidly expanded over the past decade by undercutting independent and chain drugstores and snatching away some of the shoppers. The discount giant is particularly well positioned to capitalize on CVS's planned closings. So, I don't know. You buying stock in Dollar General these days? We don't give financial advice on this show, folks, but it's crazy that CVS, I know that, Walgreens and CVS is, depending on what state they're in, have been looted and broken into and had stuff stolen from to the point where they can't even stay open. Here's some interesting news from Al Jazeera. The United States regulators have approved COVID-19 booster shots for all adults, leaving just one regulatory hurdle before the extra jab can be administered across the country. Pfizer and Moderna announced on Friday the Food and Drug Administration made the approval, which expands a previous approval for elderly adults and those at high risk. Well, here's the thing. The mandate is in limbo. So as far as you taking a booster, think twice about what you're getting injected into your system. Because if there is anything nefarious going on, as we have elicited over time, when you start to see results of people dropping dead by the thousands, and we were warned by America's frontline doctors, who the mainstream media has elected to smear, Well, if you're not going to believe what the frontline doctors are saying because they're relying on the data and you're just listening to mainstream media that is relying on emotion and no data, when you're not looking at the data and you make an uninformed consent decision to take the jab, when all this information out there is available to you, well, guess what? That's on you. You're not going to get anywhere because the drug companies, because of emergency use authorization, they're not liable. The government has made it so it's not liable. Isn't that amazing how that works? And now the NIH director wants consequences for vaccine conspiracy theorists. That's right. RT's reporting Francis Collins think that people who spread misinformation about COVID online and Dr. Anthony Fauci should be identified and brought to justice. Really? Conspiracies are winning here. Truth is losing. That's a really serious indictment of the way in which our society seems to be traveling, Collins said. You know, he's going to be stepping down from his post as a head of the NIH, but here he's telling the Washington Post all this stuff and basically assessing the fact that everybody that's out there trying to tell people what's really going on should be thrown in jail. Really? You know, describing an onslaught of angry messages faced by White House coronavirus advisor and former NIH physician Dr. Anthony Fauci, Collins said the government needs to push back more forcefully against misinformation and suggested those responsible for spreading such should be identified and brought to justice. Really? Apparently, the NIH director is a little thick in the skull when it comes to what's going to happen when they get justice. Here's the thing, folks. If you're a conspiracy theorist, all right, and you have reason to believe that something nefarious is going on, and you're out there broadcasting that, and you have scientific data that shows what's going on, you want this in front of a jury. You want the jury to understand all of what is happening, and you want the evidence brought in. And not only that, here's the thing that Mr. Collins, in his infinite wisdom in opening his trap, and yapping to the media about how all these frontline doctors need to be brought to justice. Well, guess what? All these doctors get discovery. That's right, Mr. Collins. They get to come in and they get to depose you. They get to depose Fauci, and he can't lie under oath. We get to bring in all of Fauci's emails. We get to bring in all your emails. We get to bring in DASAC's emails. We get to bring in all these experts who have actually been studying this stuff. We get to show the link between University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, DASAC with Echo Health Alliance, Fauci for covering the whole thing up. We get to, you want to talk about being brought to justice? We get discovery. That's our constitutional right, sir. You see, I got a bone to pick with Francis Collins for this, because he apparently doesn't understand how the legal system works. He thinks that, you know, we're going to get some political hack sitting on the bench that's, you know, not like Judge Schroeder in Wisconsin, who is really taking the Rittenhouse case seriously. You know, this is all part of their game, folks, to take and get as many needles in and as many arms as possible. And then they're going to try to figure out a way. And mark my words, they will, because enough stuff is coming out behind the scenes to show that when people start dropping dead, Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was a former Pfizer scientist, vice president, and chief science officer for Pfizer, is warning people don't take the jab, because if you do, you'll be dead in 3 years. Now, is he exaggerating? Well, here's the thing. What if he's not? What if all of a sudden people start dropping dead by the thousands like flies, but they don't die of COVID? They die of something that the jab caused. Well, they've already got a narrative for that. They're already going to dissuade any arguments and beat down any arguments that come at them. Well, this COVID vaccine caused the deaths of... No, they're going to find a way to downplay that. That's not important. The fact your parents died of a COVID jab is not important to these people. They don't care. What they want to do is reduce the population as such that they can control the rest of us. That's what this is all about. Let's eliminate the stupid people from the gene pool by making up some sort of tripe nonsense about how effective this jab is. And you go into the grocery store and there's the pharma tech going, oh yeah, these are completely safe. And they're not reading the label on the box. They don't have any knowledge whatsoever of what's in here. They're just giving these jabs out to people because they've been told to. That's what they get paid to do. the blind leading the blind. And so this is one of the reasons why my own daughter will not administer this jab as a nurse, because she thinks it will kill people. So it's one of these things that, you know, we have to constantly be examining as to the truth, whether or not it means anything to humanity, whether or not these people that are running the shift show in Washington are actually to be believed, or whether they, like Dr. Peter Navarro said in our first segment this morning, should be thrown in jail. I think when the whole lot of this comes out, and the truth will come out at some point, heads are going to roll, and it's not going to be pretty. And again, like I told Dr. Navarro, I sincerely believe that President Trump was given a bill of goods by Dr. Fauci. I think he was lied to, and Fauci basically downplayed the whole thing because Fauci wanted that bug over here in America. He wanted that bug to infect and kill as many people as possible. I believe that in my own heart. Now, that's my opinion. You may believe it. You may not believe it. You're welcome to call 844-769-2944 and tell me what you think. Because, hey, you're listening. I'm not here for self-aggrandizement. I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I'm here to share information and educate the public. Now, if you think it's misinformation, by God, pick up that phone and tell me what you're thinking. Because the rest of the world's not going to know. And you're being given an opportunity and a platform after being locked in your house for 20 months. So this is your opportunity to shine. And of course, you know, the thing is, that's what the Power Hour is all about. And we appreciate you, by the way, shopping at the Power Mall. 10% off Good Health Naturally products, BOGO sale on OxyLift, and 10% off OxySulfur. And since today is Cash Friday, you get 10% off when you select cash, check, or money order for payment. So there you have it. So, you know, and now my books are now in the Power Mall. And you can buy a Clouded Titles Mayday Edition, the FDCPA book, which has actual sample pleadings in it. If you think or are contemplating going to the federal level, if you think that they have messed up and your alleged creditor has violated the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, this book is novel to have. We also have the Quiet Title War Manual on sale at the Power Mall as well. And so these are just four of the eight books I've written. Along with the credit restoration primer that you can go to the Power Mall and purchase. Gotta love that. That's what keeps us going, folks. And the interview we did yesterday with Sean Spicer from Newsmax is now on Brighteon. So if you go to brighteonchannel.com, subscribe to the Power Hour on the Brighteon channel, because that's where these posts are. So if you miss them, we put a special post from Sean Spicer up on the Brighteon channel. So now you got that. If you've been watching the news, you'll notice that the House has passed the $1.7 trillion Build Back Better Act. Yeah. Well, guess what? Now it's going to the Senate, and you know what's going to happen there. Yeah, they got Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema that are looking at this thing going, I just don't know about this. You know, these Congress people do not understand what's going to happen when they go back to their districts and the district constituents start holding them accountable. Well, exactly what was in this bill that you voted for? How much of this are we getting? This is where it's going to get crazy, folks. That's right. We've got another special guest, Dr. Patrick Porter, coming on after the break. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We will be back. Stay with us.